Bible says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these sayings. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you just help us tonight. Lord, I pray for just those, everyone that's here tonight. I pray that they would just have their hearts open to your word. Lord, I pray that you just touch my lips, and I pray that I would only say, Lord, what you would have me to say, Lord. You know as well as I do that I even struggle with what I'm going to talk about tonight. And Father, I pray that you would just help me to be better for you in this area of my life. And I just pray that you would help us to change where we need to change. And we'll thank you for all that you do. And just thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And just pray that you'd bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people, when they preach on this message, or most messages that I've heard, let me say it that way, usually talk about, you know, go out into the streets and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And I want to, tonight I really want to talk about the three men or the three people that made the excuses tonight. And it's going to be kind of a weird, which you've kind of come to expect that from me, I guess. But I do want you to take your Bibles. We're going to look at another verse and I'm going to kind of tie these together with what I'm going to talk about. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I want to talk to you tonight, and I didn't know really what to title this when I'd kind of preached this when I preached one other time for 5th and 6th grade down in Kentucky, but I called it Suckers. So I don't really know if that would be a title of a message or not. You could call it Christian Leeches. I mean, that could be something else for it. And you say, Brother Chad, what are you talking about? All right. As a boy, I had a very developed imagination, I guess you might say. And, my dad taught me, and if you've never done this, it's pretty neat. But we always went, before we went fishing, we always went nightcrawler hunting. And you'd go out at night, and the night crawlers would come up out of the ground at night, especially after a good rain. We'd catch dozens and dozens of night crawlers out at night. And, you know, night crawlers were good and everything, but, you know, so I'd done a lot of reading, and they never stayed on the hook good enough for me. And so I read that leeches did a really good job because they're real tough. They'd stay on the hook a lot better. So I went, and I found them big green leeches, them big nasty ones. And I didn't mind playing with them. I loved taking, I'd go inside and get Mom's salt shaker. You know, you ever done that? And shake salt on them, and they all curl up and go crazy, and then eventually kills them. And I loved doing that. But the only thing that I didn't like when I was messing with leeches was when you'd be messing with them, and they'd actually get on you. Because you could feel it when they actually, and they would suck to your skin. And you could actually feel it. And that, it was just like, oh, get off of me type of thing. All right? And I done some researching on leeches and different things, and it kind of went me into the realm of when they used to, they call it bloodletting, when they used to actually bleed people they believed that you had good blood and bad blood, basically, and if you were sick and you got the bad blood out of you, it would make you feel better, all right? And that's for thousands of years, that was one of the main medical. In fact, in George Washington, on December 12, 1799, he went riding and he developed a throat infection. But in a 10-hour period, they bled over almost a gallon of blood out of George Washington, and that was a very common practice to do back then. And as a result of both that and his developing physical medical condition, That's what eventually killed George Washington. And I mean, thousands of people had, they would, and there was different parts of the body. If, you know, if you had a problem with your liver, they would take blood out of your left hand. If you had problems with your, I don't know, your gut, they take blood out of your right hand. So, and these men had actually developed a system where they would take blood out of different parts of the body to help people feel better, because they believed that that blood came, that was bad blood, and they were trying to get rid of that bad blood. In fact, and I was reading, in the 1830s, this is crazy, in the 1830s, the French imported over 40 million leeches just for that purpose. And they'd have started to do this with leeches. They would stick leeches, as many as 50 leeches on a person, to suck the blood out of that person to get rid of what they believed was that bad blood. Kind of weird, kind of gross, okay? I want to talk to you tonight about things that can just suck the life out of us. You know, and I got to read and I thought, well, has anybody ever died from a leech, from the leeches sucking so much blood out of them? And I really didn't find any specific case of somebody, you know, just getting killed by leeches sucking all the blood out of them. But there was a lot of cases where people would be going through a jungle or something, and they would get leeches on them, and they didn't realize they had leeches maybe on their back or something, and they became so weak because of those leeches that it just caused them to lose strength, and they weren't able to go on. So they weren't actually, and it wasn't necessarily the leeches that killed them. They just didn't have the strength to continue. I want to talk to you tonight about that. Things that suck the strength out of us as Christians. And folks, sometimes these things aren't always necessarily bad things. It's just we allow them into our lives in such quantity or in such a measure that before long, we're not able to live our Christian life the way we ought to live our Christian life. I took you to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, where it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, I could take any of these young men here, and I could give them a songbook, and I could say, "All right, I want you to start running down the road." And, you know, it's just a songbook. It don't weigh very much, does it? And then I could give them, and, you know, I want you guys to run to Midland, okay, not real far. I could give them two songbooks and say, "All right, I want you guys to run to Midland." Three songbooks. You know, they might be doing all right with one or two or three. You start piling songbooks, you get 10 songbooks on you. I'm not saying none of these, every one of these guys can carry 10 songbooks. It's not the fact that they can't carry it. It's the fact of what it does to them in the long run. It eventually just wears them out where they can't continue to go at the pace that they ought to go. And I think in Luke chapter number 14, if you turn back there, we're going to jump around in the Bible. I want to show you some things tonight. But in Luke chapter number 14, there was three basic excuses that are given for why I believe that these men can't do something for God. And I want to talk to you tonight about that. Why can we sometimes not do something for God? It's not that we're incapable of it, but sometimes things just wear us out so much. They're just sucking that life out of you. It's not the fact that maybe these things are even bad things. And in all these cases, they are good things. But the quantity and the allowance of those into their lives, you know, let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. In verse number 18, the first said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it." First thing I want to talk to you tonight about is this: what this man had. He had, it just came out this way, acquirements. Something that he had acquired. This man had acquired a piece of ground. Now, is there anything wrong with acquiring a piece of ground? No, there's nothing at all wrong with acquiring a piece of ground. And we could go, is there anything wrong with acquiring a new vehicle? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with acquiring a new whatever you might want to acquire? No, I don't think there's, unless it's something directly in the Bible that's sinful, obviously we shouldn't do that. But if it's something that's, you know, that's not sinful, that's not directly written against in the Bible, I don't think there's anything against the Bible about us acquiring material things. But this man said, "No, I can't do this. Because of my acquirements, because of what I recently acquired." All right, so in verse number 18, the first thing he said, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it." In Luke chapter number 8, if you turn over to Luke chapter number 8, This is the parable of the sower that's sowing seeds, and you know how he sowed seeds and the seed went on different types of ground. Verse number 14, it says, Luke 8:14, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth." So they have heard. These are seeds that have fallen on ground and have sprouted. Okay, these aren't seeds that have fallen on ground, on stony ground, like a stony heart, and have not been accepted. These seeds have been accepted into the heart. The seed of the gospel has been accepted into the heart of this person. But they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. This is just what I'm talking about here, is these acquirements. These are the things that, as you go through life, folks, and as I go through life, and like I said in my prayer, I struggle with this as much as anybody, I promise you. And as we go through life, sometimes we want to get something and we get that thing, but then it's just not that thing. We got to have something else to go with it. And we got to have something else. And before long, you know, is there anything wrong with a four-wheeler? No, I'd like to have a four-wheeler. Actually, I'd really like to have one of them razors. Those are pretty cool-looking things, all right? But that's besides the point. But is there anything wrong with those? No, I don't think so. But if it takes you away from church on Sunday, that's the point when it becomes wrong, okay? And that's what I believe the Bible's saying here. And this man, was there anything wrong with his piece of property? No. And should he have gone and been a good steward of that piece of property? Absolutely. He should have taken care of that piece of property. But not when the Lord called him, not when God had something that he was calling him to do, okay? And that's why in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, I believe that the seed was represented as, probably is a Christian, because the seed has sprouted. The seed went into the ground and did sprout. But we see here that when it is grown up, it's choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And it doesn't say it doesn't even grow. To some extent it does grow, but it brings no fruit to perfection. It's completely choked down. And it's just like that leech that just slowly, it's not a great quantity. It's not like, you know, somebody's getting stabbed and they're just bleeding profusely. It's a very slow pull. But over time and over amounts, I think I read somewhere a leech can eat 20 times its body weight in a day in blood. Over time, I mean, and it's not as much as folks, and we'll get to acquaintances here in a minute, which is more applicable to that, but a lot of times the people that die because of leeches isn't because they get the blood sucked out, it's because of the disease that the leech leaves when it is detached. And we'll talk about the acquaintances here in a moment. But I think we need to be careful. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I believe we need to be careful, and myself included. I am as much in this as anybody. Sometimes it's weird preaching up here because you're preaching and you're preaching to yourself at the same time. But 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Bible says, "But God," in verse number 6, "but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." You know, drowning is a very interesting thing. Drowning is a very, of my, I hate to say I have top 10 ways to die, but I would not want to drown. To me, drowning would be a very terrible way to drown, because you're helpless, and it's a very slow death. And from what I can see of drowning, I don't know, I've never drowned, obviously, but it looks to me like a very slow way to die is drowning. And it's not something that, you know, you get shot and you just die within a matter of seconds. I believe it's a very, you know, you have this moment of time where it's a very terrifying death, but it's also a very slow death in a way, because you're trying to stay alive. And as a Christian, sometimes you're just trying to live the Christian life. But these things that are just sucking you down very slowly, just like a leech very slowly sucks the blood out of its victim, these things are just very slowly pulling you down. And sometimes, honestly, folks, and I'm this way, sometimes you don't really realize it. Sometimes you're just going through life and you don't realize that these things are sucking you down. But you got to be careful, and you got to look at your life. You got to evaluate. Preacher says that. Evaluate your life. You know, see where your time's going. For where your heart is, there where you, for where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. So be careful about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 13, Solomon, you know, I think Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book, but Solomon says, there's a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. It's not necessarily riches, it's kept for their own, and it's kept, and because it is kept, it hurts them in the long run. So we need to be careful of acquirements. In Luke chapter 14, if we flip back there, we need to be careful of acquirements. Be careful about the things that you get or you have to have. Sometimes it's not even things that you already have. Sometimes it's the things that you want so bad that you're willing to give up. You know, what is the last thing that you wanted so bad that you were willing to work the overtime on Sunday in order to get? Is it really worth that? Or what are the things that you want so bad? You know, I understand guys that have to work on Sunday. I do. I mean, sometimes it's just the way they got the crazy swing shifts anymore. But if you've got a choice, you really shouldn't, because it's pulling you down. It's sucking that Christian life out of you very slowly. You don't realize it. Oh, it's one church service Sunday morning. I'll be all right. It's just that little bit at a time. It's that little bit. It's adding that songbook to these guys and telling them, hey, you run down there. Honestly, if I'm going to run from here to Midland, I'm completely out of shape. All right. If I'm going to run from here to Midland, I don't want to carry anything extra with me. I mean, a couple pounds extra, I don't want to carry that with me, okay? So these things, if we're not careful, will suck us down, and it will give us an excuse. You know, preacher gets up and says, hey, we're having a work day, or hey, I need some people to go to the nursing home, or hey, and this is true, we need some more bus workers, we need some bus drivers. Well, I got these things I got to get and things I got to take care of. And what is it that's keeping you? What's that sucking that Christian life out of you? All right. Second thing, so acquirements. The only reason I did the A's is because two of the others started with A, so I thought I'd go with A on that one too. What's the term for that? Alliterated? Yeah. I'm getting good at this. All right. Activities. Activities is the second thing. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. That was the acquirements. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. These are the activities. This man has already acquired something. And once again, folks, the 5 yoke of oxen is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with this 5 yoke of oxen in his possession of him. But he says, I can't come because I got to go work. Is essentially what this man's saying. I'm not going to see my piece of land. I already got the piece of land. I'm not going to go buy a new set of oxen. I've already got the oxen. I'm just going to go work with them. And our activities, what keeps us from doing what God wants us to do? Sometimes it's our activities. We saw that in Luke 14, verse number 19. Luke 8, verse number 14 again. You flip back there. We read this once. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares, with the cares. All right? That's the cares of this life. That's just your day-to-day, got-to-get-it-done type of stuff, all right? That's just, you know, the working to get your bills paid type of thing, all right? And then the cares and the riches, we talked about that, and then the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, sometimes, folks, and I'm this way, we're just too busy. We're just too busy for doing the things we need to for God. And we got to be careful with that. You know, for me personally, I know I work here at church and I'm on part-time staff here at church, but you know, it seems like sometimes the busiest times, I've got a time set aside to work here at church and to go, you know, maybe I got to make some visits or maybe I got to go, you know, help a widow lady or something like that. And sometimes the craziest thing, I mean, I'll have that really in my schedule and I'll have something come up. I'll get a phone call from somebody I've helped or something before. Hey, I need you this afternoon. I mean, we gotta take care of something this afternoon. And, you know, I think sometimes the devil, he doesn't try to, you know, he says, oh, you can do it tomorrow. Well, you know what tomorrow happens? You get another phone call.
That's right.
All right? You know, visiting time, it never ceases to happen. You know, visiting is usually on the nicest day of the week. You know, visiting time? You know, it's time to go out and it'd be the perfect night to go mow your yard. Or it'd be the perfect, you know, time to go do whatever. And sometimes our activities, is there anything wrong with mowing the yard? No, it needs to be done, all right? you need to be a proper steward of what God's given us. But at some point, you got to take time. This man, he probably had to get the crops in. He was going to work. He was going to go prove his oxen. And he probably had to get the crops in, but he didn't stop. He didn't stop in time. When God said, come, hey, I need you for something, he didn't stop for that. And we got to be careful about our activities. What kind of activity keeps us? It's just sucking very slowly. It's like I said earlier, it's that one Sunday morning. Oh, it's no big deal. One Sunday morning, not going to hurt me. What if on that, the devil knows on that one Sunday morning or that one Sunday evening or that one Wednesday night, God had something that would really have changed your life? But because you just let that very slowly suck it out. Hey, you know, I struggle with this sometimes. I'm just being transparent with you tonight. You know, sometimes you get up in the morning and your list during the day, and Preacher talked about this not too long ago, but your list during the day is longer than your day is. Yeah. And you're just like, well, I don't have time to sit here and read my Bible for 20 minutes or however long you personally read your Bible. I don't have time to do that this morning. Why? Because the activities of the day are sucking that Christian life. I'm talking about Christian life tonight. I'm not talking about your personal life. Your day-to-day life, you just live. But what are you doing as far as your Christian life? Are you dead? Are you a dead Christian? Have you let so many things, so many activities, so many acquirements suck the life out of you that you are producing no fruit at all? It's interesting, talking about leeches. How many has ever heard of, everybody's heard of it, so that's kind of a silly question. Anybody ever seen mistletoe? Mistletoe? Like a live mistletoe? Most people, it's not really in this area. But mistletoe is actually a parasite plant. And it will actually attach itself to a host plant. And it draws all its nutrients. To some degree, the mistletoe does have photosynthesis. So its leaves will change the sunlight into energy, so on and so forth. But most of the minerals and nutrients and water, it pulls out of its host plant. And that mistletoe will kill that host plant. Like I said, leeches don't usually kill the host, but mistletoe will. Mistletoe will just suck all the nutrients out of that host plant. My dad, when we don't do it in the fields, obviously. That would be very time-consuming job. But when we're gardening, we are our garden seeder. It's not really very accurate, Brother Donnie. It doesn't put them every 7 inches, you know, like you're supposed to have it. But so we just plant it like 4 times. And then, you know, we weed out all the extra plants. Well, when your corn gets up, if you'll notice on a lot of the corn stalks sometimes, they'll have a little sprout coming off the side of them. And you know what? That sprout, it'll produce, I call them stir-fry corn. Them little bitty stir-fry, you know the little corn things you get in a package of stir-fry? That's what they produce, is those little stir-fry corn, all right? You eat the whole thing, the cob and everything. But that's what they make. But you know what that's doing? We'd always go through and pull all them off because, A, I don't really like them anyway. And, B, do you know what it does? It pulls nutrients from the main plant. That energy that could have been channeled towards that big cob of corn is now being pulled and put into that little bitty one. So instead of this one reaching its full potential, it's now trying to put its energy into something smaller. And that's sometimes as Christians, we're like that too. We allow something to come in our life and we're putting part of our energy over here and part of our energy over here and part of our energy over here and part of our energy over here. And God says, hey, I want some of your energy. And we're like, I ain't got none left. I'm used up. I don't have no more time. I don't have no more money. I'm used up, God. And so God doesn't get any of our life, our Christian life, because we've allowed all these things to suck. Not a lot. None of these things, I believe, suck a lot of time. And you all have every good intention to grow that, to grow the perfect fruit for God. But we allow this to suck just a little, and this to suck just a little, and this to suck just a little, and this to suck just a little. It's like a man trying, one of you guys, I give you 10 psalm books, and then I put 50 leeches on you and tell you to run down. After a while, I mean, you're going to get tired, probably at Shanklin Street, all right? It's just those little things that just suck and suck and suck. So we got to be careful about these things that suck things out of our lives. Third and last thing, and we'll be done, is acquaintances or associates, all right? The third and last thing is associates. In Luke chapter 14, turn back there one last time. So we need to be careful about the acquirements of life. We need to be careful about the activities of life. And then we need to be careful about the associates of life. Verse number 20, it says, "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." All right? Sounds like me when, "Hey, Chad, you want to go fishing?" "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." That sounds like me. You know, "Chad, we're going to a truck pull. I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." No, I'm kidding. But, you know, hey, you can laugh at me all you want. There's a lot more things I did as a bachelor than I do now. I mean, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I love my wife to death. I don't have time to honestly do. I mean, when I was growing up in high school, I'd work 18 hours a day and go fishing the rest of the night. I mean, I would. I didn't have nobody to go home to. I mean, I had mom and dad to go home to, but I mean, if I'm working 18 hours a day, mom's in bed already, and she don't care if I'm going fishing or not. So you know what I mean, though? But anyway, I digress. All right. Another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And we're not just talking about wives here, but I believe this is talking about acquaintances, associates. And I think this is one of the biggest things that can suck the life out of a Christian, is the wrong associates, the wrong companions. Let's go over to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. Many of you could probably quote this. Psalms chapter number 1 says, verse number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How did this man become a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season? If you go back to verse number 1, it'll tell you, because this is where the blessing comes. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The Bible tells us here, having the wrong kind of companions. So if this is the blessing you get for not having the wrong kind of companions, then having the wrong kind of companions, you'd probably be a tree planted in the desert that didn't have any fruit, its leaves all withered up, and no prosperity at all. It's the reverse of it, all right? And I believe in Psalms chapter 1, we're warned against having the bad type of associates. Luke chapter 14, verse number 20. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 9. "I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with..." This is interesting. I never noticed this before. "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." So Paul's saying, don't company with people of the world that live in fornication, that are covetous, that are extortioners, or idolaters. Don't have company with them. But look at verse number 11. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother..." So this is talking about even Christians, folks. "That is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." That's pretty interesting to me. I honestly probably heard somebody preach on it before. But first Paul said, "I already wrote to you and told you not to be associated with the world." But if there's a Christian that's doing these same things, just because they're a Christian doesn't mean that you ought to associate with them either. Just because somebody has the name Christian and says, "Oh, I'm a Christian," doesn't mean you ought to hang out with them. All right? And I think a lot of times, you know, we get into these things, "Oh, they're a Christian. They used to go to church." Well, that doesn't mean that there's somebody that you ought to hang around with. If you'll go back to Psalms chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." All three of these are different bad types of people. All right? And I don't think all of them necessarily are unsaved people. All right? A lot of times, the worst scorners are Christians. they're Christians. And I've not been out in the world in the workforce a ton, but every the guys at work, when I did work out in the world, the guys at work that would treat you pretty decent and would at least halfway respect you, they didn't go to church, they didn't have much to do with God, but at least they'd respect you for your beliefs. But the problem I had most trouble out of, and the guys that would scorn at what we did, oh, why do you, you know, I go to the whatever church in Lexington. Why do you guys go out? Why do you have to give up every Saturday? Don't you know that's the busiest day here at work? You can make the most money here at work. And they laugh at what we do. But I go to the First Christian Church over here in wherever, Lexington or wherever. I go there every, you know, unless they need me to work on Sunday. Then I'll work here. I can make more money here. Makes sense? All right? So it's not necessarily just the world that we can't be associated with that'll suck the life out of us. It's a lot of times Christians that live like the world. Carnal Christians will suck just as much life out of you as the world will. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. All right. Sometimes circumstances are going to dictate who you've got to be around. Sometimes you just don't have a choice with it. All right. But it is in these times that you must stand for what is right and spend as little as time with them. Hey, you know, when work's over, don't go to their cookout on the weekend. You know, when work's over, you know, it's not time to go run down to the gas station in their truck while you're probably having to listen to the junk they got on the radio. Why you have to listen to them complain about whatever, even if they are a Christian and they're carnal, they're going to suck just as much life out of you. Oh, did you know they had different types of leeches? They had the ones that were used for medical purposes and then they had the ones that weren't. Oh, that's a medical leech. That's all right. That's a Christian leech. It'll be okay. Yeah, and it's sucking just, in fact, you know what? The medical leeches sucked more blood than the other leeches. That's why they used them. Oh, that's just a Christian leech. Yeah, and it'll suck more Christianity from you than the others will too. Because your defenses are down. Oh, he's a Christian. Now it's no big deal. We'll go do whatever we want. Because your defenses are down, they can suck more out of you. They'll suck the Christianity right out of you and out of me myself. Okay? Does this person that you're friends with, the person that you associate with, do they make you better for God? Or do they make you worse for God? If they're making you worse for God, they're sucking the Christianity out of you. And like I said, it's not that they're, you know, they're looking for a proselyte that they can change over to whatever they believe. It's not that. It's just that the devil just wants to pull a little bit of your energy here. And the devil knows if he can have 20 different things that pull just a little bit here and a little bit here, before long your Christianity strength is zapped. You have no strength to do whatever for whatever God wants you to do. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful about, and I have to be careful. I have to be careful about the associates I keep, the friends I hang around. You know, I've got friends that aren't saved, that aren't in church. I do. Well, I say friends. I have very few friends. I've said that before in here. I have very few friends, what I consider friends, because I think if you do a study in the Bible what a friend is, you'll find that friends are very few and far between. But I have a lot of acquaintances, close acquaintances, I would say. Friends, I might go help work or something, but doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, spend 3 nights a week over at their house, you know, doing whatever with them. I'm not going to do that, okay? I've got family. I've got family that, and honestly, listen, most people in here do too. I've got family that I can't go spend a lot of time with because... Are they a Christian? Yes, they're a Christian. But they're a Christian leech. And I got great family. And it's probably something I'm going to listen. I don't care. But you know what? If my Christianity, and I'm trying to keep my Christianity strength up here, and every little thing that they say is just a... They're just sucking that life out of me. And before long, I'm going to say, you know, I don't know why we believe that. You got a good point there. Or if nothing else, it puts doubts in my mind of, why do I do that? Why do... Oh, that's crazy. They they say they're a Christian and they're living like that. Why can't I live like that? So that just little by little, they're just sucking that Christian life out of us. We got to be careful with our acquaintances. We got to be careful with our acquirements. You know, there's things I like to have, but I can't let those things and the pursuit of those things take me away from God. All right? Acquirements. Oh, activities. There's activities I love to do things. But you know what? Sometimes there's auctions, for instance. Do you know I love to go to auctions? Brother Scales, we love to go to auctions. All right? But you know when a lot of most auctions are? Saturday morning, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock is when they most start. Look in the paper. Look in the shopper. Tell me if I'm wrong. 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock Saturday morning. That's funny. Seems like visitation is 10 o'clock, 10:30 most Saturday mornings. Well, this is all right. I'll go to this auction this week. Oh, man. Do you see what they're having at this auction next week? And this auction the week after? And this auction the week after? The devil's going to make sure he's got something there to suck that life out of you. And if you don't keep that life, before long you'll be too weak to do anything for God. You'll be spiritually anemic. So the activities. Application. What is there that needs to be done? But because we are having our time, resources, and even our Christian integrity sucked out of us, from the devil's leeches, we do not have the time, the money, or anything to do what God wants us to do. Hey, we need bus workers. Brother Jeff could get up here and tell you, hey, he needs some bus workers. Hey, I need bus drivers. We have to do our, me and Brother Reiser have to do driver juggling. Because, you know, just because somebody drives a bus doesn't mean that they don't need a vacation too. And maybe they want to get away for a weekend. Well, Brother Reiser, are you going to be here this weekend? And because he's our only spare driver, and he's glad to do it whenever he's here. Is he going to be here this weekend? Well, if he's not, then they're without a driver. I don't have drivers. Or I can't have two guys gone. What if one guy is going on vacation, another guy gets sick? I'm out. I have a bus that don't run. Because I can't have just a cab. I mean, Brother Levi don't have his license. Jesse don't have his license. They just can't get on the bus and just drive and pick up kids. You have to be licensed. Hey, I need workers. I need drivers. There's nursing homes that they could use some extra help. They could use, hey, believe me, I love Sunday afternoon naps. You wouldn't believe, Brother Tommy said something the other day, Mrs. Walton is wore out after children's church. And you ain't the only one. I get home Sunday afternoon, and I'm literally, after children's church on Sunday morning, I'm wore out. I'm kind of a habit of taking a nap sometimes Sunday afternoon. But man, Sunday afternoon is my nap time. Oh, those people nursing home, they half of them can't hear it anyway, so I'll be all right. I'll go sleep. What activity is keeping you? What activity is keeping you? Well, we got Sunday afternoon lunch. Hey, you know what my mom does? My mom cooks Sunday afternoon lunch, but Sunday afternoon lunch isn't really at noon. Or even at 1. It's usually at like 3 o'clock. Because she cooks lunch for us. But she waits until we all get home from the buses. You can do it. But sometimes we just don't want to give up those activities that we've grown accustomed to. What about the times of visitation that are sparsely attended? You know, you show up here on Saturday morning for the Shine His Lights. And, you know, three people and the same three that were there last week. I'm not saying people don't go visit during the times during the week, but what is it that's sucking that life from you? That's saying, hey, you need to do this Saturday morning. You need to do this Saturday morning. What about this toy you haven't played with yet? All right? What about the acquaintances you got to go see? All right? Food that needs to be prepared. Preacher said something the other day, you know, same 5 ladies shouldn't have to fix every meal around here. Give some of your time. Give some of that energy to God. I think God will reward you. You'll bring forth fruit instead of letting every little thing suck some life out of you. Souls that need to be witnessed to. I'm bad about this. You know, God will say, hey, I want you to go talk to somebody. All right, I'll go talk to him. Well, God, not today. I can't do it today. I'm swamped today. Still small boys. You need to go talk to him, Chad. All right, I'll do it tomorrow. The next day comes. Something comes up. inevitably, another leech. That little bit of segment of time that I had set aside, I can't go talk to him. Hey, I'm not a bold person anyway. I'm just not. So it's hard. I have to really determine to go talk to somebody about Christ. And it just seems like the devil gives me every excuse, just like these people in the Bible. God said, come. Come. I said, I can't. I married a wife. I can't. I got to go prove my oxen. I can't. I bought a piece of ground. I got to go look at it. What is it that's keeping? What about cleaning? Last time I looked around, I mean, I got a whole, whatever, lot over there. If you've not walked over there, you really ought to walk over there. This is not a, oh, Brother Chad will get it in one afternoon job. Okay? I'm being dead serious. This is our church will take a week. Our church will take a week job. Oh, you can take a tractor over there. You take your tractor over there and pick stuff up.
Yes, sir.
Last time I checked on getting a tractor tire repaired because it's flat, and you think, oh, there ain't nothing. You go walk over there. Hey, why don't you come give an afternoon? Come give an afternoon, clean stuff up. You know, my daughter, and I'm not saying, you know, can Gwen pick stuff up? Yes, she can pick stuff up, but I'm not having her pick up that stuff. Okay? And you'll understand. If you get over there and look, you'll understand why I'm not having her pick stuff up. Seriously, wear gloves. And I'm not kidding. Wear like leather gloves. But there's just stuff over there. I mean, you wouldn't believe the trash. Does this require any skill at all to pick up a beer bottle and go throw it in a large dumpster?
No.
No. But what is there that's sucking the life out of you that keeps you from doing what you need to do? Go in the yard. We have a great mowing crew, just sprucing up the place. Hey, what about this one? And I know we're talking to Christians. What about getting saved? What is the devil? Go over to Luke chapter 12. Actually, I want to show you this. This is kind of interesting. I told you I was almost done. I am. It's not 8 o'clock yet. I think we'll be all right. Luke chapter number 12. Verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns. That took time, that was an activity. And build greater, that was an activity. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Hey, I even think sometimes people put off salvation because they've got so many things pulling at them. I ain't got time for that. How many people, go on visitation, I'm not quite ready for that yet. And you know why most of them aren't quite ready? Is because they're afraid of the commitment that they'd have to give to Christ. They're afraid, oh, I got to go to church. They're afraid, oh, what about all the extra time I've got to give? What about the money I've got to give? So they're letting things suck that life. And before long, their life, physical life, is gone. And the devil has kept them out of heaven. Just like this rich man. He got so busy building up fruits, tearing down barns, building bigger barns. And then he just had fun the rest of his life. And then when he got ready to die, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I'd hate to think anybody in here is not saved, but if you're not, what's the devil using to keep you from being saved? Maybe it's an activity. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member that's just, hey, you don't need to do that. Those people over at Blessed Hope, they're kind of crazy anyway. You don't need to do that. Maybe it's an activity. Maybe it's an acquirement. What is it that's keeping yourself from being saved? Folks, I don't think that the devil always tries to take us completely out of the fight. He just wants to occupy us in the fight so that we can't fight. I don't think the devil always tries to, you know, oh, I got to kill that Christian. Now, people like Preacher, I think the devil would just like to be done with them. But most of us Christians, me included, the devil really doesn't have to worry about taking us completely out of the fight. He just wants us tying our shoelace the whole time, or, you know, on your iPhone, you know, texting the whole time, or while there's bullets flying overhead. He doesn't necessarily care about, you know, if you're sent home. He just wants you to not get your gun up and start firing. That's all the devil sometimes wants to do. It's not so much that he's trying to, like I said, just get you out. He just doesn't want you to do anything. He just wants to sick a bunch of leeches on you and say, just suck slowly. He'll wear down. Just suck slowly. He'll be gone before you know it. That mistletoe doesn't start out. Mistletoe starts out as a very small seed. If it gets on a plant and it starts growing, and the mistletoe will kill that tree. And then because the mistletoe tree is, or the host tree is then dead, the mistletoe, by way of seeds and birds, simply goes to another host. And that's what the devil does. He, you know, these things of life, the cares and the riches, the pleasures of life, the activities, sometimes the acquaintances, they're just a thing that the devil gives to us and says, oh, it'll keep him busy for a while. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. He just wants to keep you busy from serving God. I think one of the most important things is balance. You know, all these things you got to have. I don't say you got to, but most things, you got to have acquaintances. I mean, everybody's born with them, your mom and dad, okay? You got to have acquaintances. You got to have, you do have to have some acquirements to live life. You do have to participate in some things to live life. And sometimes you want to work and get something, that's great. Now, I'm in no way saying you shouldn't do that. But how much energy is it sucking out of you? How much life is it sucking out of you? Think about that. I think we need to just be balanced in our life. You know, I'm not saying you need to spend 5 days a week out soul winning. You know, nobody in here, I can't do that. I work here. I've got too many other responsibilities. I mean, the buildings and the grounds take up most of my time, honestly, every week. I honestly don't get as a whole lot of time to go visiting and do stuff like that just because of the physical upkeep of the place. But I got to be careful that doesn't take all my time. Because it very could easily, folks, I could spend every working moment here at church just working on buildings, just working on sprucing the place up. But what about when God says, come, like he did in Luke chapter 14, come, I've got somebody over here you need to be a blessing to, or come, you need to witness this person. Am I allowing the leeches? Hey, but Brother Chad, it's work at church. It is work at church. I understand that. But the Great Commission doesn't tell me, you know, go ye into the yard and pick up all the trash and spray all the weeds. Yes, sir. It's not what it says. I know I was being sarcastic, but that's not what it says. So I have to put my focus on where God wants me to put my focus. Let's just be careful, folks. Don't let that leech, these young men, you know, they could run, but the more baggage they're carrying, the less strength they have, and they're not going to go as far. Any one of us can carry a ton of weight for a short distance, but the more weight you put on, you just can't go as far. Just a fact of life. You only have so much strength. There's a song that slipped my mind now, but it talks about we've only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. So use what life you've got. Don't let the devil use his leeches, suck all that life out of you. Because it's not a bam process. It's a real slow process. But at the end of your life, I'd hate to look back and, man, every bit of my blood, my Christianity blood, was sucked out of me, and I produced nothing for Christ. Nothing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the tenderness of the people, Lord, and bearing with me with just how frail I am in my speech, Lord. Pray that you just bless them. Lord, I pray that we'd just be, help me in this, Lord. I pray that you just help me to be balanced in my life. Help me not to allow the things of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares and the pleasures and even acquaintances and activities, Lord. I pray that you wouldn't allow me to let these things come into my life and sap every little bit of Christianity life that I have. Lord, I pray that I would produce fruit for you. And Lord, I pray that we would, as a church, would produce fruit for you. Father, I pray that you just bless us. Help our preacher as he's away. I pray that you just bless him, be with him. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.